T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
Top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champs at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale at NUSports.com.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
The segment most likely to get someone suspended, fired, or at least spending the night on the couch.
Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
This is basically a giant list of things you can't do.
Yeah, it sounds thrilling.
I will tell you a deeply personal story.
So what's your question?
I have a tendency to overshare.
Quid pro quo. I tell you things, you tell me things.
What is your worst memory of childhood?
Death of my father.
Tell me about it and don't lie, or I'll know.
I can't have it. You know, I can't do it, Henry. You know, it's can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
You can't do it, then I have to do it, and I don't want to have to do that, Sonny.
You just can't do it.
The deal. Can't do it.
I can't do it. That's what you said, huh? Can't do it.
Can't do it. Wednesdays at 4 or thereabout on The Score. This hour brought to you by the Chicago Golf Show featuring special guest Robbie Gold. For tickets, go to chicagogolfshow.com. 312-644-6767.
Yeah, you know, light them up. Played. Come on. Challenge Mr. Parkins here. Mr. Shep. Shep and Tanny. I don't even know if they got a question last time around. They got all kinds of answers for you. All you got to do is ask.
That's right. One question to one person. No follow-ups. No proprietary information. If it's been asked and answered, we don't have to tear open the old wound. If you get us to say can't do it, you get a prize. We start in Cortland with Trenton on Can't Do It. Trenton, who's your question for?
Hey, this one's for Danny Mac.
Hi, Trenton. What's happening, kid?
Hey, not a whole lot. Earlier you mentioned that you knew some surprises for you guys coming up for your spring training trip.
Mm-hmm.
Could you indulge in what you know?
Oh, goodness. Man, you know what? It probably wouldn't be as exciting as you'd expect it to be, Trenton, and I don't want to betray the confidence of my program director, so I'm going to have to say I can't do it.
There's no way you can do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Right, I can't do it.
Yeah, no one likes to spoil surprises.
Right, they're surprises. And yes, I want to see the look on Danny's face when the Chippendale dancers arrive poolside.
Nice. I'm going to be doing my crunches. Maybe they'll audition me. In the South Loop, Nick, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Hey, Parkins. Hope you guys are doing well.
Doing great. Thanks, Nick.
So with Cub season coming up and bull season already going, I wanted to ask you, in terms of the on-air radio duo, who do you think is better between Chuck and Bill and Pat and Ron?
I love Max and...
He's really pressing you on that one.
Yeah, impression is Swirsk, but I'm a baseball on the radio guy over a basketball on the radio guy. So okay. I'd personally say the Cubs. I prefer the Cubs on the radio to the Bulls on the radio. It's just... I watch basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's exactly right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go to Mundelein and welcome Mike to Can't Do It. Mike, who's your question for?
How you guys doing? It's for Dan McNeil.
Mundelein, my favorite Mike Tyson sounding verb. Hello, Mike. What's happening?
Hey, Danny. My question was, when was the first time you felt a professional athlete or coach allowed you into their circle of trust?
Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Chico came to my mind first.
But
I know you're friends with with Ronnie.
Yeah,
but,
Ronnie doesn't, he's the nothing really, you know, that would be scandalous there. He lives pretty righteously. Late 80s, I'll give you a couple of them, and I'll try to be fast. Late 80s, had an appearance with a Bears player, and some buddies of mine wanted to go. And I said, we're probably going to smoke when we take an intermission. Don't be a goof and don't ask a ton of questions. And they were really cool. And in the backseat of an old beat-up Buick, my guy's exhaling. And as he hands it, he calls my lifelong buddy by his first name. He says, John Ditka's an effing A. It was like, oh, how perfect. So that
That's awesome.
That was a moment of arrival for me. An athlete confessing his wife was cheating on him a few years later. And then there's the sex party of the mid-90s.
Oh.
Yeah. I just say this. Regarding the sex party, my pants never came off. I just kind of was the straw that stirred the drink.
You were the play-by-play broadcaster?
I was the I got 2 minutes for instigating in hockey for parlance. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
That's probably where I should leave it.
That's good.
Less press.
Oh, that's a few more minutes of the segment. Speaks coming in 10 minutes. Otto in Woodfield, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Brookfield, it's for Dem and Nail.
Otto, what's up?
What's up, buddy? Quick question. 2 weeks back when Danny Sparkins let us know that he was confused whether or not a Black Widow was a spider or a snake, you had alluded to Deborah Winger's movie, I believe in 1987, Black Widow. You then, Dan McNeil, said something inaudible on the radio regarding Ms. Winger, and somebody answered. I think it was during changeover. What'd you say regarding Deborah Winger? What was your response?
Oh, it was all complimentary, Otto. I mean, if you were if you had blood pumping through your veins in the 80s and you were in your 20s and nowhere near testosterone replacement, you had something for Deborah Winger. She was the girl next door with the raspy voice and every guy wanted her. It was something like that.
What'd you say?
Something, you know, suggestive. Yeah, I can't say it on the radio, probably.
Oh, but it had
to do with how much I would like to, I mean, when I was in my 20s, had her on the floor with me, probably. Is that enough for you?
Yeah, that's enough.
Do you need any more than that?
Yeah, you expressed the amorous desires.
Yeah, I did. I was unattached. I was okay with that. He didn't have anybody keeping me from fantasizing about Deborah Winger.
Mike in Edison Park is on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
It's for Danny Parkins.
Sure. What's up, man?
Danny, you just recently got some new paper, didn't you?
Yeah. Signed or agreed.
Fresh deal.
Agreed to a 2-year deal.
So the question is, if the channel up the dial offered you more dough, would you have jumped ship?
It depends how much more dough. To be honest
yes
with you.
No.
Yeah, it depends. You said if it was more, if it was a dollar more, no. If it was a lot more, then sure. I'm a careerist, but I mean, you know, listen, in radio, you're going to get fired at some point. And if you want to work in this city, there's two places that do local sports talk radio. So I haven't burned any bridges over there. That's the first place I interned. It was the first place I was on the air.
There's follow-ups out there, listeners.
In Chicago. But I plan to be here for, you know, Terry had his, 20 years or 25 years? I want to have my 25 years. So... if it was a dollar more, no. If it was a life-changing amount more money, they actually, to be truthful, they would have an opportunity to match, and I would have hoped that they would, because I love being in afternoons and what Mac and I are building. But that's kind of how these contracts work. They have a contractual right to match, so it would have depended totally on the timing of the offer and the amount of the money. And that's as truthful as I can possibly be. And the truth is, they didn't. So there was that scenario did not come up.
And I sent Jim Pastor a thank you email. What a tool.
You did.
Such a tool.
You did do that. And then you sent, and then you told me about it after you sent it. I was like, oh my God, you are an instigator.
Yeah. Thanks for dropping the ball again, little fella.
Oh God. Let's see here. Jay in Addison, you're on Can't Do It. What's up, Jay?
How you doing? For Mac?
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Mac. Last week you were talking about athletes that go through depression, and there was a local sportscaster that would make fun of these athletes and
and whatnot. Who was that local newscaster you were talking about?
Jeff Blanzy was the guy who made the crack about Vin Baker, who was a Seattle Supersonic at the time, and said after Baker was taking time off to treat his depression. And Blanzy noted he makes $2 million a year. We all should be so depressed. Jeff Blanzy is your guy.
Brett, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Daniel.
Brett, what's happening?
Mac, my man. So what athlete or athletes was involved in the sex party you just spoke of?
Oh, boy. Two local pitchers go in a bar. No. Those are dogs there, aren't they, Rhino? I'm not going to give up who it was. They were baseball players. They were active players, mid-90s. And only one of them was involved. Only one of them took his pants off that night, and I will not say who it is.
There's no way you can do it.
Can't do it.
Brett is going to get a George Castle signed book.
Mike in Roselle's on Can't Do It. Who's your question for, Mike?
Question is for Shep.
Oh, question is for Shep. He's tangled up in something over there.
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Shep? Earlier in the show, about an hour and a half ago, you alluded to not ever wearing the blue Batman trousers for your wife. And you
Superman.
Said you had something better.
Superman or Spider-Man. Remember,
oh,
right.
Oh, Superman
or
Spider-Man. Sorry, bro. It's okay. You alluded to having something better for the bedroom. What are you doing better?
Well, what do you think would make it better?
Somebody else in it.
I'll answer the question. I'm big for showering right before bed. So a bathrobe with nothing underneath.
Yeah.
All right.
Mike, yeah. I hate you.
Free balling.
Got to be clean.
I like that. Yeah.
All right.
Put on deodorant and everything.
Mike on the north side, you get the last question.
Hey, this is for Dominic.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show, kiddo.
Hello. If it came out tomorrow that one of the five teams in the city was going to move, which one would you miss the least?
The Bulls. If the NBA announced today it were closing its doors, I wouldn't bat an eye. I will enjoy watching the Bulls when they're good, but on my idle time, job withstanding, I would never watch pro basketball.
312-644-6767. That wrapped up another entry and edition of Can't Do It. Gave away a couple prizes today. Our guy Matt Spiegel's going to at some point be a regular on Friday, but he keeps being unavailable on Fridays.
Yeah.
So
it's just show and broadcast.
That's the goal. But the Manny Machado news makes today very relevant to talk baseball and visit with our friend Matt Spiegel, who I believe also has seen all of the Best Picture nominees for the Academy Awards. Matt Spiegel joins us for the rest of the hour coming up on The Score.
Good question. There's been conflicting reports. I'm like you guys. You know, you're looking at Twitter and you look at all things of social media, and Kenny Williams came out this morning, was very disappointed, and then there were reports that, you know, that they weren't sure they could go that high. So I'm not sure there was an offer of $300 million-plus on the table for Machado. I was quite shocked. I really thought it was going to be between the White Sox and the Yankees. I wasn't quite buying into this Padres thing being in. And now there are reports that the Padres may be in on Harper, too, but I can't see that happening.
Dan Plesac from MLB Network with us yesterday. What happens now that the White Sox missed on Manny Machado? We'll get there with Matt Spiegel, but we want his take on how they didn't get him. What's up, Spiegs?
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good to have you.
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to doing this with you guys all baseball season. And it's always baseball season, even though the hot stove is completely broken.
It really
several
is.
Years now.
Every sport in America has passed it by. The lacrosse offseason is just terrific. This has gotten worse over the last 24 to 36 hours, in my opinion. The feeling as you deal with Sox fans, and we all do on social media, and some guys and some bloggers that I've been talking to, kind of texting with, man, the anger and the hurt has only gotten worse. And I have some theories as to why.
Well, I mean, is it beyond all of the reports seem to suggest that the White Sox offer wasn't close to the Padres offer, but the White Sox brass said in some ways their offer was better.
And it wasn't.
They say there are elements of it, is what Rick said.
Well, now we know what it was. Now we know that there's vesting options, that they wanted him to, you know, they wanted him to bet on himself in ages 33 and 34 after months of everybody saying, yet you accept some dead money on the back end of these deals.
That's exactly what we went through all day yesterday. Dead money. If you win titles, who cares?
Well, yeah, but what seems to hurt most is that they really wanted him. They legit did want him. Ownership wanted him. Rick Hahn desperately wanted this to happen. They signed Ed Manning to be an assistant coach so son Danny would matriculate at Kansas. They did the same with Yonder Alonso and John Jay. They used every department in the recruiting pitches. They wanted him. They offered $250 million guaranteed. But then they drew some arbitrary, idiotic line in the sand between 250 and 300 when you've known for 4 months that the guy wants 300. That's what he wanted. And the difference between 250 and 300 to one person, to the player, is so obvious and so palpable, and it's an understandable deal clincher. $50 million written guaranteed, direct deposit every 2 weeks is understandable to the player. For the team to balk at that difference is frankly absurd. You've got an average.
Explain that, though, because I think a lot of people would say it's 25% more. It's a right 25% raise from 250 would be 300. It's a big difference.
Well, it's 1/6.
Yeah, it's not that high,
right? So it's 150.
I tried to figure it out in my head yesterday too.
It's 1/6 of 300. I'm saying from 250.
Right. Okay.
50 million is 1/5 of 250.
But I'm
20% above. 20%.
I'm not looking at it as a raise. I'm looking at it as an additional chunk.
Yeah.
Additional chunk of guarantee. And, you know, it's 1/6 of what your total ends up being. And yes, it's an extra $50 million. I'm not saying the team doesn't notice that.
Yeah.
But you're talking about $25 million a year as an average in 2027 and 2028. That's what you're talking about. And it is completely theoretical when by then there could have been a title or two. Hopefully the entire atmosphere of the sport and the business outlook of the sport could have changed. How much is $25 million for a player by the time 2027 comes along? You don't know. And the thing is, you offered him an average annual value of $31.25 million for 8 years, and then you wouldn't do two more years at an average of 25. That ends up looking like a ludicrous, arbitrary line in the sand, in my opinion.
I
agree with
you. It's a line in the sand, but it's the one Jerry chose to draw.
Well, and why draw it, Mac, if you want the guy?
I'm not saying, right. I get it, but from his standpoint, it seems obvious to me there was no way he was going to guarantee that guy $300 million. And I'm not saying I agree with it, but $250 was as much as he was willing to guarantee. And had he accepted the $250, he would have accepted, the fifth or sixth most richest contract in baseball history.
Doesn't matter. They banked on the market never delivering 300 guaranteed. And we talked about it all offseason and have continued to talk about it, that the landscape has changed, these deals don't work anymore, et cetera, et cetera. But the guy's 26. And you look at the projections for his next 10 years, and he's absolutely worth $300 million. That's what the projections say. It's what Fangraph says. It's what history says of the myriad players. I think it was 63 players who had 5 years similar to Machado's first five. And then their next 10, about 56 of those 63, you'd look back and say, yes, I would like their next 10 years for that kind of value. You would. And Anthony Castrovance did that piece in November, I think, on MLB. Anyway, this has been out there forever. They banked on the market.
Those players are in the Wayback Machine, though.
Not that many.
Right. Well, really?
I'll find the piece and I'll send it to you. Not nearly as many as you think.
Okay, because I thought it would be probably half of those players,
It includes
and those
guys
never had the luxury of resting on a ridiculous contract like that.
Some of the borderline guys, as I remember from the piece, are Andre Dawson, Scott Rowland, Gary Carter, guys like that, whose next 10 years after their first five were similar to Machado's.
And they didn't taste this kind of money. They didn't, not even close.
But they're ball players, and the point is projecting them. And I know things have changed with drugs and with testing, but he was going to get it. And they banked that the market was not going to deliver it, and in the end, it did.
And so the thing that bothered me about it was the messaging afterwards, honestly.
That's another reason as to what feels worse 24 to 36 hours later. Kenny shouldn't talk in the first place.
Right, and he exactly.
Can't help himself.
And they confused it because now, and again, Rick Hahn will be on with Lawrence right after 6 o'clock tonight, and I'm sure they will go down this line of questioning, but you've got Bruce Levine reporting that they have a organizational philosophy against opt-outs.
And then that was aggressively refuted to many members of the media all day today.
Okay.
Aggressively refuted by the team itself.
They were telling anyone who would ask that that's not true.
And some who didn't ask.
But so then you've got a question of, did you include opt-outs in this offer to Manny Machado? Because if the answer to that is no, then not only did you guarantee him $50 million less than the Padres, but you also didn't give him an opt-out after 5 years. So then for you to say that the deals were close or in some ways your deals were better, you really weren't close at all.
Look, if the no opt-out philosophy was a real thing, it's hideous. And I tweeted as much last night. Now it's a day later that has been refuted. Past examples have been pointed out, like Albert Bell, which is a very complicated example, by the way, which we could get into if you want, because that's not a typical opt-out at all, what the Bell contract was. But anyway, if we're to take them at their word that this is not an organizational philosophy, and that simply what mattered to Manny Machado was the extra $50 million guaranteed, then that alone is worth burying them for. It is. Now, if the opt-out didn't exist, of course it could have been considered by him. I would look at that and say, no, okay, so that clinches it. If I got the extra $50 million guaranteed, and oh, by the way, if things go really well, I could go ahead and get out. That's what people are getting. That's what guys are getting these days. Kershaw just used his. The Cubs are praying Jason Hayward would have used his, and he's not. But that's it. It's there. Don't, you know, play the game.
But do you believe it? Because I don't. I believe that there is a scenario in which the White Sox would offer an opt-out.
I'll go ahead and believe that now because they've gone very aggressive all day today in trying to tell you and to tell the world, and Rick will say it again to Lawrence at 6, that it's not an organizational philosophy. It would be idiocy.
Why not include it for Machado? Or did they? Do we think they did? I don't know the answer to that, and I've been trying all day to figure it out. Do you think they included an opt-out to Manny Machado?
I have been trying to get that specifically clarified all day, too.
Okay, because that'll be something that Lawrence will try to get,
yep,
I'm sure.
Rick Hahn joins Lawrence Holmes tonight at 6 o'clock.
You know, do you remember the Albert Bell opt-out? Do you remember how that worked, Mac?
Vaguely.
He signed a 5-year, $55 million deal with the White Sox. His deal called for him to be among the top 3 salaried players in all of baseball. After 2 years, he was not in the top 3 salaries in baseball anymore. His agent asked for a total of $4.25 million to be put into the deal. That's $1.4 per year to get him back to the top 3. The White Sox refused. And by
they didn't like those 152 runs batted in or 49
49
home runs.
Homers. He led the league with an OPS of 1.055.
The most awesome single season of offense in Sox history.
Right?
There were some good ones.
Finished 8th in MVP voting, led the league in like 5 big categories, slugging OPS, OPS plus. Uh-huh. And they said, no, we're good. And look, history says it was a smart thing to do because he then went out and signed for 5 years with the Orioles. And those last 3 years, he didn't play. He got 12, 12, and 13 to not play for Baltimore. Okay? But anyway, that's an opt-out that only was triggered because the team had some control to not raise his salary. The team had some control. History says they like opt-outs with a little bit of their terms. This contract says that the last 2 years were vesting options with a little bit of their terms. Be healthy. Play a lot. You can't have things on your terms these days in MLB when it comes to courting these guys. You can't.
So what do you think they do now?
I think they go back to what their plan was, but it just doesn't feel as good for the fans, and it doesn't feel as good for them, I'm sure, because they've now been spurned. But they go back to, you know, calmly letting the kids show up, hopefully one after another, Jimenez, and then Cease, And then we'll see. Basabe just got hurt.
Basabe!
Luis Robert is too young still. But, man, I'm excited about him more than just about any of those guys.
What about Mankata, free agency goes on.
Carson Fulmer's too bad.
Do you think they spend money for this year's team in any significant way?
I think it would be silly to chase relevance after this.
Dallas Keuchel, they are not in a position. Dallas Keuchel doesn't mean anything to them right now. They're not that close. Why would you blow out an arm like that? Save that for down the road when you're closer, right?
I thoroughly agree on a big-time pitcher.
Bob Nightingale said...
Marwin Gonzalez, right?
Right. Josh Harrison and Gio Gonzalez are still on their board.
Well, you know, Gio's interesting because he's been here five times and traded five times by this organization.
So they have an intimate knowledge.
As the world turns at 35th Street.
They have an intimate knowledge with both the ceiling and the floor for Gio Gonzalez. But, you know, Marwin, I guess it depends what he gets. He's an incredibly interesting player because he can play anywhere and he's productive. But look, and I've seen fans and intelligent ones out there saying, all right, go get people. Go get somebody. Come on. It'd be silly to scramble and do that.
It's like firing somebody just for firing somebody.
The restaurant will be open next year as well. You had a seat at the table. I know, Mac, you talked about progress today. Yeah, that's progress. You had a seat at the table, but in the end, you didn't want to pay the menu price. You know, right? The restaurant will be open again next year. Maybe Nolan Arenado will be at the restaurant. Maybe.
But you've got it.
But you better be ready to pay full freaking price.
Exactly. Well, and that's the concern. And a lot of people have made the comp of, you know, the Bulls don't get the big ticket item.
Josh Harrison's a Tiger, by the way.
Yeah, one-year deal. Surprise.
Oh, okay, that came out. The White Sox don't get the big-ticket item. Is there a correlation between the two that, yeah, they say they want filet mignon, but they're willing to pay for Casey Stripp? And I happen to love Casey Stripp, but not necessarily.
Oh, let's go lower than that. Let's go cube steak.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Rump roast. Well, whatever you want to call it, they're not. They don't play in the deepest end of the pool.
Well, so is Carlos Boozer Adam Jones in this scenario?
Right.
Hawk will come out of retirement if Adam Jones comes to the South Side.
I love Adam Jones.
He goes to the post every day.
But get that, Joe.
You know, he doesn't make sense.
He's got the will to win.
For this team in this time frame. I have felt the comps. I have discussed the comps. I have talked about the bunk bed at Reinsdorf's house where Paxson and Kenny Williams live. They share a room there and have rent-free for decades, and they change roles around the house. Really, it's up to them, and they'll never be kicked out of the house. They can do whatever they want.
License to fail.
100%. So that comp is entirely accurate. But again, the sad part here is that they really wanted this. They wanted it, and they failed. I mean, I guess you could argue then it is similar to the summer of LeBron, when they really wanted LeBron, and they did not, and they had a shot at LeBron and Wade and making Chicago what Miami became for those next 4 years, and they failed at that.
And a decade later, still proud of that.
Yes, still mentioning
it. Recently learned.
Yes. Hey, we got a seat at the table.
We talked to LeBron back then. Leave us alone.
Awesome.
You did, and you know
what? Quit picking on me.
You know what you were then? You know what Dwayne Wade turned them into? The Chicago Leverage. And that's what the White Sox have been in the last 4 months. The Chicago Leverage. And this has happened to a lot of different teams in this town. Every org has taken a turn being the Chicago Leverage.
What do you make of the fact that the reporting around the other teams who were pursuing Manny Machado looks like the White Sox valued him about the same? I'm playing devil's advocate here. I mostly agree with where you're coming from. I said that yesterday and today. But it said the Yankees were 220 to 240.
Sure.
And there wasn't anyone other than the Padres who got to 300 or anywhere close.
I have spent Saturday after Saturday on Inside the Clubhouse, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, saying, boy, there's just not many stupid teams out there left. There's no stupid teams left. The Orioles finally smartened up. They got rid of a Duquette, whichever one it was, and they hired a bunch of other guys.
The brothers Duquette.
Right, there's no teams out there who usually anymore have an owner that's going to come down like the Lerners in Washington and say, you know what? Here's that $200 million I told you I didn't have. I actually do have that. We know Tom Ricketts is not that guy this year.
Yeah.
San Diego was that team. AJ Preller's a freaking madman. They decided to jumpstart their rebuild with a very good farm system. It only takes one. They didn't count on there being one. The key question to me is, Did Lozano, did Manny Machado and Lozano, the agent, come back to Rick Hahn and say, we got our 300 guaranteed?
Right. What are you doing?
We got it.
Yep.
Will you do that? No, we like what you're doing, but will you do that? Did they? I think Lawrence goes down that. We'll go down that path.
I'm sure he will.
Because that's
those
a huge...
are the two most important questions. But I you think also it's the opt outs.
Yes.
And did you have an opportunity to counter?
Right. And if there's not an opt out, or even if there was, could you not see Machado saying, "Oh, I got my 300 mil," and oh, San Diego's gorgeous. Oh, I don't have to be on the second team in town and, you know, and deal with the winters. But this winter feels interminable, doesn't it? It's like, I mean, is it possible that no matter what you did, and that's the other thing that's potentially very sad here, that you really tried and you recruited and you got family and friends and you're still... not appetizing enough, and you need to know that about yourself and be self-aware, and don't let $50 million stop you from the guy you're trying to get.
Well, it gets complicated there, right? I mean, we'll never know because they didn't offer him $300 million, so now they can say, he went to the place with the more money.
And they're right.
And they're 100% right. The other thing is, in that game of chicken, like, I'm sure Lawrence will ask Rick Hahn, but in negotiations, they don't present to you the offer.
They don't necessarily come back to you and present you the option?
They say, yeah.
Is this your best offer? Unless, is this the best you can do?
They
this
say,
year,
I have 300 million.
Unless you want to be here. Unless you really want to be here. Unless you do want to, you like the idea of playing with Yonder and playing with John Jay and being the stalwart here and getting to play short and getting to write your own ticket for a very loyal franchise. And you like what they've done in Latin America and the presence they have even in Miami and all of that. Unless you really want to be here.
I'm just saying agent's bluff, right?
Sure.
He could be like, oh no, I got 375. You can't beat 380. You know, they could have lied and they could. So it's absolutely possible that they're like, no. Yeah.
No,
we believe that we have the top offer.
It is true that sometimes negotiations do not work that way, that they come back and say, here is the offer that I got. Or they could come back and you don't believe it.
Because
as you're saying, it's been a game of chicken the whole time.
So yeah, I do find them to be far apart though. And they're trying to spin it that they were really close and that they thought that they actually made a superior offer to the one that's been reported. And now that we know the details of what they offered, I don't see the two as being particularly close. It seems to me like it was a fairly easy option or easy choice for Manny Machado.
Guaranteed money is one thing, and vesting options that are theoretical 8 years down the line is a completely different thing. It is intangible.
We'll keep hanging out with Matt Spiegel. It's Mack and Parkins on the Score. Matt Spiegel hanging out. Mack and Parkins on the Score. It's brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. You brought in the bad vibes.
Oh, I'm sorry. But
just on Machado, not in general.
Tammy's bringing the good ones back. I heard you talking a little Nirvana earlier, and then there's Serve the Servants. Teenage angst has paid off well. It paid off well.
Happy birthday and R.I.P. Kurt Cobain.
And he got bored and old. That's what the lyric says. But he didn't really get very old. 27 Club, you guys were going over. The only one that you didn't mention, who I always think of, is Jeff Buckley. But that's just because I think the Jeff Buckley album, Grace, is just absolutely remarkable. If you've never heard it, Mac, you should. It's got it's got some Zeppelin influence in there. I mean, it's not Greta Van Fleet copying the entire thing, but there is check out Buckley because it's a brilliant record.
I had a wonderful 2 week affair with Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah, you know what?
Are you seriously?
I'm not really upset about it. You know why? Because Zeppelin stole everything they did. So let that wheel go round, baby. They stole it from old black blues men.
Well, they
not everything, but a lot of
stuff.
They
did a lot of covers on their first album. Yes, Willie Dixon was all over Zeppelin I. I get that.
And they did not pay the estate of said Willie Dixon.
Yes, they did. With Willie Dixon, they did. There were other guys, and the other guys they did. The court ruled against the guys who tried to sue them for Stairway.
Okay,
you know what? You could have Stairway. Stairway's a footnote.
Spirit. It was Spirit.
Was it Spirit?
Yeah. But anyway, that's not why.
Greta Van Fleet is just like, they sound is like, man, you're right. And it's like, okay, I guess he can't help it that he sounds like Robert Plant, but everything about the band is, the rhythm section is thundering. It's Led Zeppelin 2 is what it is.
I wish I sounded that good at 19. Or 20.
Oh, he can wail.
Oh, my God. I wish I ever sounded that good.
I was going to say, when did you get there? That's pretty awesome.
I didn't.
Okay. It seems like a high ceiling. Yeah,
no, does he? When Greta Van Fleet performed live, does he stuff his pants like Percy? Our plant used to do the double
cucumber?
Sock.
Yeah. Was it a double sock or
the
cucumber?
I think it was a double sock. I don't know how you get the head with a double sock, but he managed it.
In Spinal Tap, he gets Harry Shearer gets busted going through the metal detector at the airport with a giant cucumber wrapped in tinfoil.
Yes.
That he had stuffed in the pants for appearance's sake at the airport.
Necessary.
As you do.
Armadillos in our trousers.
So you've seen all of the Best Picture nominees?
I have seen all of
I've only seen five. Max seen four.
Yeah, the wife and I decided to see them all. And I saw a bunch of the Best Actor and Best Actress
good
nominees
for you.
As well.
Yeah,
so
I'm
who
not
would
gonna,
you win?
Yeah.
Who would you give them to?
Best Actor and Actress?
Yeah, just go. Or and Best Picture.
Best Picture.
I got to tell you, the one I thought I would like the least, I ended up liking almost the most, perhaps the most, and that's The Favorite. I mean, The Favorite is a period piece.
Mac hated it.
Oh, God.
I haven't seen it.
I'm not surprised
Stanley Kubrick
it.
That shows up in it, because it's very Kubrickian in many ways.
Sure.
There were a lot of tints of Clockwork Orange in that film.
Yeah, there are some Kubrick. And Peter Greenaway, did you ever see The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover back in the day?
I didn't, no.
But I thought it was funny as hell and bawdy and weird as hell.
I may try it again sometime down the road. But, I do love the scene where they're throwing fruit at the naked the naked fat guy.
Right?
Like, what is the point of this scene?
There's some Clockwork Orange.
Is there
to
a
it.
Point to that scene?
Yes. The level of excess that they achieved and the ridiculous extents to which they would go to just to have fun.
Danny, this chubby guy standing a curtain, and he's covering his private area, and there's not much to cover. You can tell it's thimble-sized. And
Thumble's good too.
Yeah, Thumble.
And
they're throwing oranges. Yeah. They're throwing oranges. And he's laughing at them.
It's because they can.
He's just getting pelted with fruit.
And he's laughing.
Yeah,
he's just taking it like a champ.
He loves it.
I'll have to tell you the story of a fruiting I attended one time.
A fruiting?
A fruiting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
insane.
A Green Book very intentionally pulled at every one of my heartstrings, but it did it awfully well.
I loved it.
I really
I loved Green Book. I loved Black Klansman.
I liked Black Klansman a lot. I didn't like it as much as Green Book.
Don't need to see A Star Is Born.
Oh,
I've seen two remakes of it.
No,
I just love A Star Is Born.
On principle, not interested.
You know what? A Star Is Born ought to win. Now I haven't thought about A Star Is Born in months because I saw it when it came out. But I think it's absolutely brilliant, perfectly played with all the music and every level that Bradley Cooper went to try to get it done. It exceeds any of the remakes that you're thinking
okay.
of. It's a different animal.
So they got a remake, right?
That movie
was
very moving. Did you see an acting performance better than Bale in Vice?
Probably not. It's pretty. He's pretty remarkable in it. I loved Vice.
See, I did too. It didn't get the critical acclaim that I thought it was going to get. I mean, it's weird for a movie that's nominated for Best Picture, I thought it'd be more universal.
You know how The Big Short, directed by the same guy, Adam McKay,
yeah, of course.
Takes incredibly dense, difficult material and makes it palatable and entertaining for the masses?
Yeah, flat out funny.
That's McKay's gift now, and he did it again with Vice. But it was even more dense and mundane, and he didn't quite do it as well as The Big Short. And it was about 15, 25 minutes too long,
yep.
I thought.
No, I thought the movie, it almost felt like a play at times. Like it was going, like they had to do like a scene shift and it ground to a halt and then it would start back up again when it would jump time periods and stuff like that. But the acting performances were amazing.
Yeah, all across the board. Best actress, Melissa McCarthy. Got a chance to really stretch her legs in Can You Ever Forgive Me?
I heard she was great.
Unbelievably
in a dramatic
great.
Role.
Absolutely.
Again, yes.
Yep.
But she proved she could do it with St. Vincent a few years ago.
I love St. Vincent.
She could do a lot more than poop in a sink and be very engaging. I mean, that was
she
good
was great
stuff.
In that, too.
Hey, oh,
that's
she,
range.
Yes, yes,
look,
yes.
It takes
I believed her.
Takes a special woman to poop in a sink. Okay? And I've been looking for one my whole life.
She does anything you'd want a woman to do, but remains a lady all the while.
I hope she wins for Best Actress.
Over Gaga. Or was she not nominated?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
She blew me away in that movie. Good voice on Lady Gaga.
Yeah, yeah, she can
sing.
I'm
willing to exclusively report that.
Good talent. Well, finally, music has touched you in some way.
It did.
It moved you.
It moved me in
that
movie.
That's news. That is news in and of itself.
It is. I love it when he's on board with something. Take home assignment for you next time we get together.
Okay.
If you have an idle moment to think about who would comprise your own personal Chicagoland Mount Rushmore of classic rockers.
Oh, I was hoping for a Mount Rushmore of presidents like you did the other day.
yeah, thank you. It was big on President's Day.
Classic rockers, and I'm saying Chicagoland, and my list is very generous. If you wanted to include somebody who was from Rockford or Gary, Indiana, I'm not going to begrudge you that, but it's Chicagoland and it's classic rock is the category. It is incredibly difficult to come up with four. To me, only two are obvious. Ray Manzarek and Terry Kath.
Oh, actual humans, not
yes,
bands.
Yes, yes, humans. Mount Rushmore. I've decided Dennis DeYoung is going on my Mount Rushmore, but I'm giving him Stillwater treatment, the out of focus guy.
Okay,
he's going to be the out of focus guy for all the techno stuff in the 80s.
I understand. No, I think the family and I are going to pass on your Mount Rushmore. I don't think we're going to visit it as we drive through your North Dakota or your South Dakota if Dennis DeYoung is on it.
Then the question becomes what constitutes being a Chicagoan? Is Eddie Vedder a Chicagoan because he spent 10, 12 years here? Is Warren Zevon a Chicagoan? He was only here a short while too.
Well, and then what is classic? Is Earth, Wind, and Fire classic to you?
I would say no.
Because Maurice White and a lot of Earth, Wind, and Fire are from here. And Earth, Wind, and Fire is as good as it gets. All right. I will give it some thought.
Right. It's like
thoughtage.
You know, yeah. Robin Williams. Have you ever heard anyone refer to Robin Williams as a Chicago guy?
No.
He spent the first 12 years of his life here before his family moved to Detroit when his father was trans.
Yeah, I can't give you 12 years.
I'm not giving 12 years either.
Especially the first 12 years.
Right, yes. Yeah. A middle 12.
No, you can't
sure.
have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are not. 12, yeah.
Hey, 22 to 34? Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Absolutely.
You partied, you hung around, you did some stuff. The first 12? Yeah, come on. Life was blurry, and it got progressively more in focus.
And you didn't have a choice.
No, right, exactly.
You didn't choose your residency when you're 12.
Right. Oh, boy, I'm going to tell you the best play lots that I remember.
I love your
years.
Decision to avoid my mountain. That's great. Keep it.
Look, there's a lot to see in South Dakota. Those lands are bad, man.
Thank you for coming in, Speaks.
All right, boys.
Thanks,
good
Speaks.
To see you. This will be fun. Fridays at 4?
I think 420. So. Yeah, but 420. We'll spark at 420.
Oh, eventually, we'll do it on Fridays.
Whatever.
Sure. Okay, sounds good.
It's always 420 these days.
Yeah, I believe you. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.